You sing the truth? Love bubbling over in your heart? We're delighted that God has watched over us, blessed us with continued life, health, and strength, and with the presence of mind to come together to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're glad that God has seen fit to be mindful of us in sending His only begotten Son into the world to live and to die for our salvation, restoring the privilege, the honor, and the glory of leaving this world, when we leave this world, to know that we have a home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands, and to also share with us the benefit of living in such a way that He is well pleased. And He was so interested in us knowing the way that He sent His Son down, and His Son chose 12 apostles, guided by the Holy Spirit, to go here, there, and yon, preaching His divine word. And we have the Holy Bible, since the apostles have been called off the scene into eternity. Now it is left to each of us to decide to study His Bible, to believe His Bible, and to obey what we can read about in His Bible. He didn't give us this. He didn't have His Son to go through what He went through, and then to give us this Bible just to have something to do. So wisdom says, since this is God's holy book, the Bible, designed for human beings to get to know Him better and to get to know how He wants us to live on planet Earth. And then one day, when we leave this world, we will go and live with Him, never to die again. Isn't that good news? We're delighted to see those of you who are here. We are especially pleased to see those who have been on the sick list back with us, up and at them. And just to look at a couple of them that I saw, looked like they were in perfect condition. You sure you were out sick? Well, that's good news of God, blessing them to know that kind of return to health. Turn in your Bibles this morning to an Old Testament book called Esther. Say what you will or more, but I've been wanting to preach this sermon a while back. And I preached it before, but it's been a few years ago. E-S-T-H-E-R. That's the way you spell the book's name. Esther. That's an Old Testament book. My goal, if the Lord says the same, is to walk through here to the benefit that the queen invited the king and a man by the name of Mordecai, a Jew that's a servant of God. That's what we'll get by the grace of God this morning. And we'll continue this series at least for one or two more lessons. The book of Esther, E-S-T-H-E-R, Old Testament, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the day of Ahasuerus. This is Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. Rich man, rich king. But in those days when King Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast. Did you get that? In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all of his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the provinces came to the feast. And when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty every day, even 180 days, 80 days. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in Shushan, both unto the great and small, 7 days in the court of the garden of the king's palace. The court of the garden of the king's palace. Remember that. Where were white, green, and blue hangings fastened in the cords of fine linen and purple to silver rings and pillars of marble. The beds were of gold and silver upon a pavement of red and blue and white, black, and marble. And they gave them drink in vessels of gold. He's showing off, isn't he? The vessels being different, your Bible says diverse, one from another, and royal wine in abundance, according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None was forced, or none was compelled. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, that they should do according to every man's pleasure. And the queen's name was Vashti. The queen, she made a feast for the women folks in the royal house which belonged to the king Ahasuerus. On the seventh day of this feast, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizta, Harbona, all seven of these chamberlains. He commanded all seven of them. You got that? That served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king to bring the queen Vashti before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty. For she was fair to look at. But Vashti, the queen, she did what? She refused to come at the king's command. That's dangerous. Therefore was the king very angry. Verse 13. Then the king said to the wise man, "What shall we do? What do I need to do about this situation?" Verse 15. "What shall we do unto Queen Vashti according to the law? Because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains." And Memucan answered before the king and the princes, "Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but who else? All the provinces that's gathered, represented here, and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen shall be spread abroad, so that they shall despise their husbands, because other women will do what she's done. So we need to do something serious. The king Ahasuerus commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she didn't come. Likewise shall the ladies of Persia, Media, say this day unto all the king princes which have heard of this deed, the queen, thus shall there arise too much contempt and anger or wrath. So if it please the king, we have a solution. Let there be a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, that it be not altered, that Vashti come no more before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. Disobedience. Queen. Disobedience. And when the king's decree go out to all the provinces as to what Vashti has done, other women will treat their husbands the same way. What is he saying in essence? We need to keep the strings on too. The lady folks. That's what they're really saying. And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters into all, verse 22. This is the solution, supposedly. For he sent letters unto all the king provinces, into every province, according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. King Ahasuerus also sent word out to find to all of his provinces that let every young, beautiful young lady come and stay 1 year, and during that year she's going to be pampered. She's going to have everything that she asked for to make herself beautiful, so that when they can march after 1 year of preparing for it, they can march before the king so that he might choose another queen to reign with him. Look at verse 4, chapter 2. Let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now in Shushan the palace, now we're getting into it now here. Stay with me now. Verse 5. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai. Mordecai. He was Jewish. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, and Nebuchadnezzar. And he was brought up. And in his bringing up, he was a dealt over a niece of his who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah. That is, Hadassah is actually who? Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and was a maid, She wasn't married, but the scripture goes on to tell us something else about her. She had excellent complexion, fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took her as his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment went out through all of his provinces, over 100 provinces. That young woman, single, good looking, should come to the palace and stay there 1 year. And during that 1 year, they would go through, I don't know how to put this, beautification. They would work on their beautification so that after being there 1 year, then they would go in as the king called for them to decide who he wanted to take the place of Vashti. Verse 8. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and many maidens were gathered together, many maidens, unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house, to the trust and keeping of Haggai. He's a worker there. And the maiden pleased him. This is the worker, not the king. The maiden pleased him, and she ordained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her all the things that she needed for that year to beautify. She was already beautiful according to the scriptures, and during that year, she became even more beautiful. What are they looking for? What are they looking for? They are looking for a replacement for Vashti. Whoever the king decides on that comes in before him will become the queen. Let's read verse 9 again. And the maiden pleased him, and this is talking about the ones that's in charge of the beautification. Pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, and he speedily gave her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and 7 maidens to help her get prettier, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her, that is the fellow that's in charge of this program of beautification, he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. God moves in mysterious ways. Isn't that something? Esther, verse 10. Esther had not shown that she was a Jew. For Mordecai, her uncle, he was a Jew also, had told her or charged her that she should not tell anybody that she's Jewish. Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther was doing. Verse 12. Now when every maid's turn was come to go to the king Ahasuerus, after she had been there 12 months, according to the manner of women, so were the days of their beautification, that is, the 12 months. Those were the days of her beautification. And she had anything and everything that she desired for her to look beautiful, to go in to see the king. So were the days of their purification. 6 months with sweet odors and other things for the purifying of the woman. But it was a total of 12 months. Verse 13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, and whatsoever she desired to go in to see the king, she was given that. In the evening she went in, and in the morning, if he didn't choose her, she left when they went in to see the king. Verse 5. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, her uncle was Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go when her time came for her to go in to be with the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the fellow in charge, the king's chamberlain, and the keeper of the women appointed. Whatever he decided, that's what she put on. And Esther, verse 15, middle part, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus. That's verse 16. In the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. Verse 17, are you there? And the king did what? Loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in the king's sight, more than all the other virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon Esther. Then he made a great feast, Esther's feast, to let all of his provinces know who the new queen is. Verse 20, Esther, this is important, so was the other rest of it, and what I already said. Esther, by instructions from her uncle Mordecai, had not yet shown that she was Jewish. That's in verse 20. As Mordecai had charged her, for Esther obeyed Mordecai. Children, hello, your parents are older than you. They have lived longer than you. And for everyday life and living, they are wiser than you. They may not know how to do calculus, but they can tell you how to live like you're supposed to live and be pleasing unto them and unto God. Mordecai had charged her, don't tell anybody, you know, what your background is. In those days, why, Mordecai, her uncle, set in the king's gate, two of the king's men planned to assassinate the king. And the thing was known, verse 22, and the thing was known to Mordecai, who told Esther, and Esther inform the people in charge in the palace. And when inspection or when they followed up on the accusation, they found that it was true. And when inquisition was made of the matter, it was found out. Therefore, they were both of the men that were planning to kill the king lost their life. Well, now let's get back to this. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote who? Promote Haman and advanced him to set his seat above all the other princes that were with him. And all the king's servants, watch this, all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. For the king had commanded that. But Mordecai, a fellow by the name of Mordecai, did not bow nor paid him reverence. Go back to verse 1. After these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman? I want to make sure you remember the names of these people. Don't get them mixed up. The servants and everyone would bow down to him because Haman had gotten a promotion. Watch this now. But not Mordecai. Mordecai did not. People told Haman, middle part of verse 4, told Haman to see whether Mordecai, his reason for not bowing, would hold up. Everybody else, since the king had promoted them, bowed down when they saw Mr. Haman. Well, that's a different story. And when Haman saw that Mordecai didn't give him reverence, he thought scorn. He thought to do evil, to lay hands on Mordecai. Now notice the Bible says to lay hands on Mordecai alone, just Mordecai. For they had showed him, the people of Mordecai had shown him that his people were Jews. In the first month, that is the month Nisan, verse 7, in the 12th year, King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman one day. From day to day, rather, from day to day, and from month to month. And Haman now has gotten his promotion. Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain group of people among our people that we need to take care of. Their laws are different from ours. They are strange people. They are different people. They keep their own laws. Therefore, it is not for the king's benefit to let them live. Now, he doesn't know what he's getting into, Mordecai. If it please the king, verse 9, let it be written that they may be taken out, destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the responsibility of taking them out. And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman. He said, go ahead and do it. Go ahead with it. The king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as you see fit. So you just do whatever you see fit. Then were the king's scribes, the writers, the people that write letters for the king, called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman, you remember the name, Haman? All that Haman, who had given the king the idea, had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and to the governors that they were over all the provinces, and all of the rulers, they wrote the letter to take to all of his provinces to kill the Jews. It was written and sealed. The letters went out. When these letters went out, word got back to Mordecai, who every day sit in the entrance that led to the king's palace. When Mordecai received the news, he sent information to his niece, who is now the queen, that all the Jews in all the provinces of the king are to be put to death. When Mordecai, chapter 4, verse 1, when Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai tore his clothes, put on sackcloth of ashes, put on different kind of clothing, mourning clothes. Esther got word about it. So she sent him some clothes that were not mourning clothes. He refused to take them. Sent word back to her. So Esther's maid and the chamberlain came and told it to her. Verse 4. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent word to Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth. She wanted him to dress differently. No, he refused to do that. Also, verse 8, he gave Esther a note. Regarding the death, the potential death. A copy of the, verse 8, also he gave the servant that the queen sent out in writing of the decree that was given in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her and to charge her that she should go in to the king to plead for the Jewish people. And Attash came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Attash, tell Mordecai, all the king's servants and the people of the king's province know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king's presence and he didn't call them, and he doesn't wave his wand towards them, they can be put to death. He hasn't sent for me in 30 days. Mordecai commanded 13, send word back to Esther. If you altogether hold your peace, say nothing about this, just because you're in the palace, don't think that you will not be destroyed also. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? That's in verse 14, latter part of verse 14. Then Esther bade Mordecai, return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are in the province of Shushan and fast for me, pray for me. Don't eat or drink. I also and my maidens will fast as well. And I'll go in and I'll go to see the king. If he doesn't wave his wand towards me, I'll be put to death. So Mordecai went his way and did according to what Esther's request was. This is a serious time for all the Jews everywhere during this occasion. Now it came to pass, chapter 5, on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel, stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in a royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so. When the king saw Esther, the queen standing in the court, if the king does not wave his wand towards you, you'll be put to death that day. That was she was risking. Verse 2, middle part. She obtained favor in his sight. Our God is awesome, isn't he? Our God is an awesome sight. She had been called by the king in 30 days. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, Esther, what is it that you want? Whatever it is, I'll give it to you. Esther answered, if it seems to be a good idea, a good thing, let the king and who else? And Haman. Let the king and Haman come today, this day, unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. Then the king said, cause Haman to hurry up. Come on. We're going to have a feast with my queen. It pays to live a godly life. God will wake. He will work out things from sources and in a way that would be beyond our imagination. Whatever you do, remain faithful, loyal, committed, dedicated to being a faithful child of God in his church. Now, I put the last part on there, in his church, because there are thousands upon thousands who go to a church every week. And when they read their Bible, if they read their Bible, they have never read about the church that the apostles established through the preaching of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. And every apostle preached the same gospel because they had the same Holy Spirit. Not a different gospel. So the apostles, during their lifetime, they preached the gospel, people obeyed the gospel, and they were added to what your Bible says in Romans 16:16, the Church of Christ salute you. Churches of Christ, Jesus didn't have one church because the church is his wife. Amen. Getting back to this. Haman is doing his thing. She says, if I found favor in the king's eyes, I would like for the king and Haman to come to a feast that I have prepared. Nevertheless, verse 20. Well, let's look at verse 9. Then went Haman forth that day joyful, because the king and Haman were the only two people at the feast that Esther had prepared. So both of them were invited. Esther, she invited the king. The king invited Haman at her request. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, when Haman saw Mordecai, that's her uncle, and that's the fellow that the other fellow that doesn't want to, he wanted to get rid of all the Jews. He was upset. But the verse 10 says, nevertheless, Haman, he held himself in check. But he had to see, the Lord had it so that he had to see Mordecai to get to the palace. And that angered him all over again. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king and had promoted him. Now, this is him going back home after the banquet. Haman said, moreover, verse 12, Esther the queen did not let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but me. But me. Just the king and me. And tomorrow, latter part of verse 12, and tomorrow, what's going to happen? I'm invited by her to come again to her banquet. But notice what he says in verse 13. Yet all this availeth me nothing, so long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, sitting in the king's gate. I have to walk by him to get into the palace. Then his wife says, Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends said to Haman. You got that? Haman and all his friends, including his wife, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou to the king that Mordecai, are you there? Be what? Be hanged on the gallows. Honey, you need to build a gallows high and hang Mordecai on it tomorrow. Then you can go into the feast merrily with the king. And the thing, latter part of verse 14, and the thing please Haman. Wicked people in every age. Watch this, church. That night, not tomorrow night, that night, after the banquet, that night, the king couldn't sleep. King couldn't sleep. On that night, could not the king sleep, and commanded to bring in the book of records out of Chronicles. Watch this. And they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had rescued the king because two of his servants was plotting to kill him. And it had been made known unto the king. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. Because the king wanted to know what has been done for this man that saved my life. So Haman came in. Verse 6. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? To whom shall I give this my ring to? And Haman answered the king. Haman. That's the guy that had the gallows. Yeah. His wife told him to build a gallows. What shall be done for the man that the king delights to honor? And Haman, verse 7, and Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, let the royal apparel be brought, which the king uses only occasionally, and his horse, and the king rideth, that the king rides on, let that man ride on the king's horse. And let this apparel and the horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's highest officers, that they may array the man withal, whom the king delighteth to honor, and do what? Bring him on horseback through the streets of the city, and proclaim before him, this is a man that the king delighteth to honor. This is the man the king delighteth to honor. The king says, that's exactly what I want to do. You go and get Mordecai. Do just exactly the way you told it to me. Let him put on my royal robes and my chariot and draw him through the streets. Says, this is the man the king delights to honor in. Our God is awesome, isn't he? Oh, church. Then took Haman the followed instruction. And to verse 12, and Mordecai came again. You did all of that for him. But guess what Mordecai did after he got through with this fellow, carried him through the streets? He went right back, and sat down in the pathway that led to the king's palace. And Mordecai came again to the king's gate, verse 12. But Haman hurried up, went home, told his friends all about it. Then said the wise men unto him, if Mordecai be of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast what? Begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, and shalt surely fall before him. And while they were talking, now this is the same day of the drawing through the streets. While he was talking, telling them what was going on, I don't know why they didn't know when he was being led. But anyway, he was being late for the appointment the next day that had come to go through the banquet or the feast that the queen had invited them to yesterday. And it shall be performed to half of the king. Ooh. Then Esther the queen answered and said, I have found favor in the sight of the Lord. Drop down to verse 6. And Esther said, the adversary and enemy of this wicked Haman. Now this is in there. They have gathered together the second day after Mordecai being led through the street. The king still wants to know what her request is. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he? Oh, she has already told him. I missed this. Then Esther, let's go back to verse 3. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, because I'm asking, and my people be also. For we are sold. I and my people are to be destroyed, to be slain, put away. But if we had been sold, I wouldn't have bothered you with this. But this way, we are to be killed. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said, verse 5, unto Esther the queen, Who come up with this? Who is he? And where is he that doth presume in his heart to do such? And this is the king talking about, and has not consulted me, and he's killing people in my territory. Who is this that have presumed that they can have that kind of authority? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was what? He was afraid before the king and the queen. I thought you were so bad. And the king got up from the table, from the banquet, wine, and walked out to the gate into the garden, to the palace garden. When he walked out to the palace garden, Haman stood up. Why are you standing up, Haman? I got to talk to Esther. I got to plead for my life. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. And when we get to verse 8, then the king came back in. Haman stood up to make requests for his life. You got that in verse 7? He was so engrossed in trying to protect himself and get Esther to plead for his life that he had gone over to Esther and was pleading so and fell over on the cot that she was on. And that's when the king walked back in from the garden where he had went out. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the, verse 8, into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereon Esther was. Isn't that something? Now it looks like you're going to attack my wife. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, sir, I want to tell you something. There's a gallows. That Haman had built, made for Mordecai, who had spoken good things regarding the king. The king said, is that in your Bible?
Yes.
The king said, hang him on the gallows. Isn't that something? Hang him on the gallows. Build a trap. God has a way of having you to fall in it. On that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen, and Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what kinship that they had. And Mordecai gets promoted. Be careful what traps you set for others. We have a God that is able to see to it that you be the victim. Take no chances. Now there's exciting news even after this regarding Esther and Mordecai. When I read that story, it's hard to put it down. And when you start reading it at night, it's still hard to put it down. Go away, sleep. Let me finish this. Let me see what's happening. Now, if the Lord says the same, I'd like for you to check that out. And we'll see what happens now that the man who hates Jews has been put to death. What's going to happen to Mordecai? We'll study, perhaps, if the Lord says the same tonight. God knows how to take care of all of His people. And it doesn't matter what you do to God's people. God knows how to keep them and to sustain them. Jesus chose 12 apostles to preach His gospel. When He came after His death, burial, and resurrection, in the book of Matthew, I believe it's chapter 28, He met with His 12 apostles. You know what He told them? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Don't stop. Don't stop. Go teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. Don't slow your step. Even though some men had already, some people that followed Jesus before His death had been killed. Jesus Himself cruelly killed. Don't slow your step. You may go through some challenging times. You may go through some difficult days. But if you're walking with the Lord, what can they do to you? What can they do to you? If they kill you, you get sent on to glory land. If they let you live, you can do that which pleases the Lord. Heads you win, tails you win. Oh, church. What are we striving for? We're striving to live a life that the Father will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come on up a little bit higher. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Where are you today? Are you saved? Are you in the church of Christ? Are you in the church that you can read about it in your Bible? There's going to be a judgment day, according to Revelation chapter 20. And the books are going to be open. Books, plural. You know what the books are? That's human beings' records. God keeps a record on every human being. It's going to be open at the judgment. It's going to be judged out of those things that's written in the book. Because His book is going to be open at the judgment. They had best coincide. You're a faithful servant of my Bible. You're a faithful servant in my church. I don't see my church in your book. But I kept your record, so I know it's accurate. Make your calling at election here. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Heaven is eternal. Humans are eternal. You want to spend your heavenly days, if they're days, whatever God calls them, it doesn't matter, just so I'm with the Lord. But you want to spend it in peace, joy, and happiness. To be a member of the Lord's church, according to what the apostles preach, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you must hear the gospel that you've heard. You must believe the gospel, the good news of God. You must be godly sorrowful for the sins that you have committed, called repentance. You must acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I do. And then you must be buried in water baptism for the remission of your sins. That's in your Bible. You can read Acts chapter 2 for yourself. And know for yourself. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Are you there? Are you there? If you're in the body, Have you been faithful? Wonderful. Have you walked contrary to his will? Sad. But God has blessed you with life to come on home, renew your covenant, and rededicate your life to his service. Put him first. He doesn't have to take second place. He does not have to take second place because he's God. And he can let his world live, be in existence until he gets ready to call it to a halt. So however many people he wants, he can just keep going. He never grows old. Come on home. Is this too much for you? You would enjoy heaven then. It's your choice. Let us together stand and sing the song of encouragement. And we'll wait for you to come on down.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood,
power in the word.
Would you war evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There's power in the word.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. For there is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary tide. For there's
wonderful power in the blood.
There is power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be white? Much whiter than snow, there power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in his life-giving flow, for there's wonderful power in the blood,
in the blood.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
The Bible says in Romans 16:16, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Direct. No guesswork. And I saw the dead and small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. So you see, God is keeping a book on all of us. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. Death and hell were cast away into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You know what happens for those who are not written, whose names are not written in the book of life, and living in accord to his will. The choice is yours. You may be seated.